could throw a hissy fit. We knew that for sure, and we saw it. We saw it live, baby. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us again for The Last Storm. We're pumped up that you're here with us. Dave and I are back to talk about that badass win against the Cavs. Yeah, baby.
Man, what a win. 112 to 100. I have to say this. The Cavs are incredibly well coached.
Defense.
What they did to us in the first three quarters was very impressive. Shea had 21 points and 11 free throws at halftime. And I was just really impressed how they came back out. They played Shea incredibly hard without fouling. It was a very impressive display of coaching and defense by that Cavs team. But when it came down to that fourth quarter, bro, we put the metal to the pedal, and we just did not let up. And it was really fun.
Or the pedal to the metal. Either way you want to do it, man. We'll go both ways.
Metal to the pedal, baby.
That's right. And I honestly, bro, I don't want to admit this, but the truth is I didn't think this was our game. Going into halftime, we were down by 10, and then Shea hits the buzzer beater three.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, I think we scored 43 points in the first half. Like, things just weren't working. Like, the first quarter was fine. The second quarter was
47.
And, yeah, like, it was tough, man. But we came out on a fucking pissed off rage in the fourth quarter. And the center of all that was Kenny Hustle. He had a sequence where I think he had like four massive plays in a row. One of them was drawing a charge. It was drawing a charge. Another one was a challenge call by Coach Degnall on a foul on Mobley that we got the ball back on. An offensive rebound on a Bazley, very, very short miss where he just like swallowed it up and laid it in. I mean, this was the Kenny Hustle game. I mean, you look at those stats and you're not like, oh, he's the best player in the game. Well, to me, he was. I mean, I don't know what else to say, bro. To me, he looked every bit as good as Shea's 35.
I think that's what's so impressive about what Kenny does is he's a star in his own role. Being a role player that he is a lot of guys don't understand how to be superstars or even stars in that role. Kenny Hustle is a straight-up superstar in his role. By now, the entire NBA knows it. I get excited because when he has a game like this where it's like 20 minutes, 7 points, 1 block, 1 assist, 7 rebounds, 3 of which were offensive, 1 for 2 on three-pointers, which his three-pointer that he hit was just massive. The crowd went fucking crazy. Great job by our fans tonight getting on on their feet and really getting into this game because at that end of that game, this is what carried the team, and you could see it. But Kenny Hustle, man, having somebody like this on this team where he can come in and play your center position when you're small-balling it, he can come out there and play that power forward, that small forward, that shooting guard position. It doesn't matter, man. Watch him play lockdown defense on a point guard as well. It was really impressive. I was really, really stoked that he was part of this big win. For me, watching Aaron Wiggins, the 31 minutes that he played, he had 2 steals, which are just ginormously amazing for what we needed at that moment. He had 10 points, 2 assists, 7 rebounds, one of which was offensive. Hit both of his free throws and 4 for 6 from field goal. His 31 minutes was really impactful. I guess that we're unbeaten when he starts. Is that right, Mark?
I don't think we've lost when he started. I have to give a lot of credit to our YouTube commenters because they've drawn our attention to this, and I believe it is correct. 7 for 7.
Yeah, so great job by Aaron Wiggins tonight. Again, another one of those players that, in my opinion, is a superstar in his role. And, you know, he does all the dirty work. He played defense last night on Darius Garland, which to me is one of the smaller point guards. Quick as shit, yeah, good, but man. He did an amazing job when he played defense on him last night.
Yeah, we missed Dort. And I think that was something that was like evident, but we found a way to overcome that. And you got to give a lot of credit to this next man up mentality. You look at Jay Will and what he was able to do, and you're just like, wow. Like, this guy has come so far since the beginning of the season. 2 for 2 from deep.
So far.
And like that inside the arc shot he had was just shot with so much confidence. It was, I think it was like 15 feet, you know, top of the, I mean, he was like at the elbow, I think. And it was just like this, the level of confidence he shot it with, it was apparent that he's becoming like so confident in his own skills that like this guy belongs on the NBA floor right now. He'll get more G League time because that's what everybody does. But he's ready to play, and I really appreciate the coaches, Coach Degnall and Sam Presti and the whole organization's commitment to get him the right opportunities, because you're seeing it pay off. And we were afraid, man, when Poku went down, we're like, where are we going to get these minutes from? And we're starting to see this like center by committee like start to pay off. You mentioned Kenny, Baisley, you got Moose, you got Jay Will, and then you've got just everybody who understands that they don't have the size inside. So it's going to be gang rebounding, and we need to make sure that we don't let the bigs, you know, get loose. And it happens every game, they do. So it's not like we're like, oh, we're perfect at this, but we overcome the challenges. And I got to also tip my hat to J-Dub, bro. We threw up a question right before we got on, because we had to ask everybody on a poll, like, who's going to be the best player on the Thunder? Is it going to be SGA? Is it going to be Josh Giddey? Or is J-Dub going to be that guy? I know it seems weird that all of a sudden we're throwing him in there. And is an overreaction? Potentially. But 3-for-3 from deep. Last game, he had 5 dunks. This game, he had 1 incredible posterization. He might have had 2 dunks, but he had that one that just like left an impression on me. I mean, I don't want to overreact, but it's impossible. But there, you don't see rookies play like this. So it's hard to like really like, if this is all he is as a player, he's good enough, right? But if you're like, okay, can we project some improvement? My head explodes. I can't do it.
I think it's the beautiful thing about J-Dub's game. The way he understands it, the way he plays it, the way that he goes about that swagger he has, you know, there's something special about him. And you see it and you learn to recognize it. It's the same thing that we said about Shea his first year with the Oklahoma City Thunder was, man, Shea is special. There's something about this young man that really just it's special. Same thing with Josh Giddey. You know, as you're learning these players and getting to understand their games and following through with them, you start understanding who's that player that's going to stand out. And for me, I love to do it in the NBA in general, is when we're playing against other teams and saying, okay, this guy's going to be really good. Like Mobley, he's going to be outstanding one day. And he already is. You know, Garland is a great player. Like, I love to break down other players' games. But recently, I can't help but just get stuck on these Thunder players because J-Dub, you got Jay Will. You know, you've got Shea, obviously, still coming into his game. You've got Josh Giddey. You've got Osman Jang. You've got Trey Mann, Isaiah Joe. You got all these young players that are coming up. And it's like, you know, it gets you excited because you want to start breaking down and envisioning the future in the next 3 or 4 years of what this team could be. And, dude, I got to say is I'm glad you asked this question, because the question was, who will be better or who will be a better player in Oklahoma City? J-Dub, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, or Josh Giddey? And to me, like, the fact that we're even asking this is because all three of their games are so different and so unique.
Right.
In general, it's really powerful. And last night, what we saw with Josh Giddey do was great. There's a play that he came down. He had a fast break, and he got the defender on his hip. And he did a fadeaway turnaround bank shot. You know? And these are the plays that you look at, and you're like, holy fuck. Like, Josh Giddey is so good that everybody else right now in the NBA is starting to get a hold of it, except for a couple people that still just don't understand Josh's game. And that's fine, because I don't care if those people ever understand who Josh is or even understand his game, because we understand where he's going. We get it. What he did last night, 15 points. He had 3 assists, 6 rebounds. He was 3-for-4 in free throws. I said, you know, last night or the other day, I wanted to see Josh get to the free throw line at least 5 times. 4 times, I'll take. I love the aggression. You know, he was 6-for-12 on field goals, and he didn't take a 3. I love it, man. He just attacked the hole. He took what they gave him. He was guarded all night by a smaller guy, and he just took advantage of that. The fact is, he shot 50%. There's a couple times that I felt like the ball could have gone in, but you know what? I don't want to hate the guy because he's doing so well right now. Like, picking on a couple shots that went out, come on, guys. Like, that's not worth it. And he's learning to take care of the ball right now. Everything he's doing is really impressive, and I'm just really, really, really excited about where Josh's game's going.
Absolutely. And I'll jump back to J-Dub and then talk about Giddey real quick. But shout out to our brother John for bringing this up with J-Dub. At first, I was a little bit like, it's a little soon, but that was like, just the question is just, it's fascinating. Like, does J-Dub have a ceiling that's a little bit higher than what we really can imagine right now? I want to hear what you guys have to say about that. So jump on Twitter or YouTube and let us know what you think. All right. Back to Josh Giddey, bro. Let's just be honest, okay? Like, we got to be a little bit harsh here, right? This was not a good game for him in some respects, particularly the turnovers. I saw Coach, it seemed like, bench him in the first half at the end of the second quarter. All right, why? Turnovers. But in my opinion, the reason those turnovers were coming was not like Josh is like going out there and like tripping over himself and fucking up, right? The Cavs defense is really high level, and they have extreme help side defense. It's one of their strengths. Like, the like their weak side.
I mean, look at who they have.
Their weak side is overloaded, right? Like, so they got ball, and then you know, when you swing it. So what was happening, I think, for Josh was there was an easy pass, and then there was a cross court skip pass that usually is there. It wasn't there. They were picking him off. They were giving him issues. And it was just kind of like a thing, I think, where Coach was just like, you know, some games you got to get off the ball quick. Some games you want to ball fake and then do the cross-court pass. I mean, I don't know what Coach was saying. But for me, when I look at this game, I looked at them having come in and scouted Josh Giddey, decided here's what we're going to try to take away from him. When he's when he has the ball, like, think about it. Like, I'm not very good at, like, football and American football, right? Like, but – when, if you're talking about coverage, like, as soon as Josh Giddey has the ball, you just drop into coverage, man. You just go into coverage. And I think that's what they were doing. They weren't really, like, forcing him. They were like, he's not going to shoot it after he puts the ball on the ground. He wants to catch and shoot, right? So everybody just dropped into coverage, and they kept the pressure on the ball. And that really created issues. And I think that's why he responded in the second half with putting his head down, right? Because it's like, if they're going to drop back, I can get to the rim. Right. And they're going to take away my primary option, which is my passing. I'm going to go to my secondary, which is my scoring. So it's a little chess match. And it's I just don't want to be like critical, but I also want to be realistic that there were issues with his game that were related to the style of defense. And you have to understand that, like, I was worried. Like, it's like, you know, as a coach or a former coach, you see a player on the bench and they're like struggling, trying to figure things out. Now they're sitting out in minutes they no more to play. And you start thinking, how are they going to respond in the locker room? How are they going to come out in the second half? Are they going to hang their head? Or are they going to realize that this is an opportunity to improve? Are they going to feel like they should punish Coach because Coach, you know, took them out of the game? Or are they going to realize that the first half is over, the second half is in front of us, and all that matters is how we execute? And it, like, everybody has bad games. You go and look at, I don't care what player you're talking about. Like, but the difference between having a bad game and a bad first half is your ability to adjust. So if you're looking at, like, everybody having perfect, you know, quarters and stuff, then you're not supposed to be watching basketball. But understanding that he did have a bad half, he adjusted, and this is the second game in a row where he's had trouble in the first half and he came out a different player in the second half. That's the only thing you want to look at. You don't want to look at what was causing the issues, because they'll study the film, they'll get better, everybody's going to improve. The process of improvement is what we want to circle and we want to highlight, and we want to say he passed that with flying colors today and the last game too.
Absolutely. It's the progress that we're looking at, and it's the improvement we're looking at. I hate saying that the four turnovers is bad for Josh, because it's a learning process for each of them. So, you know, something he can learn from each of them. Let's talk about Shai. 35 points, the 35 minutes that he played. He had one block, two steals, eight assists, five rebounds, two of which were offensive, 10 for 11, like I said, from the free throw line, all in the first half. 1 for 1 on three-pointers and 12 for 21 field goals. Shai is playing unbelievable. But, Mark, I have to ask you this. I got to ask. In the last two games, we've watched Shai pass the ball three times between defenders' legs for assist. Is this the new, like, bam, come guard me with your big man. I'm passing the ball between your legs.
Yeah. It is.
I don't know. I don't know what this is. Bro. It's crazy,
you
bro.
You nailed it. We gotta like look at this. And did you see Clint Capella's face when it happened the second time? Last time, bro.
Did you see Evan Mobley's face?
It's pure dejection, like pure humiliation.
Damn it! I'm gonna be on ESPN.
It's worse than getting dunked on. Because getting dunked on, they realize it right before it happens, and they're like, and they think, oh, I covered my face. I made a business decision. Yeah. Right? They kind of have this illusion that maybe I got out
they're
of
the picture.
Right? But the nutmeg, it's just like, you know.
No denying.
Yeah, you know it. And I think there's also this feeling that must happen when they're like really intense on defense, and then they have to turn around and watch something happen behind them that they can't be a part of. It's beautiful. And like, look at the guys who he's doing it against, like Capella and Mobley. I mean, we're talking about.
I think didn't he have one against Allen too? Like,
maybe.
He had one against Mobley for the JW3. And then there was another one. I forget who it was. It could have been somebody else.
I thought it was Allen. That passing lane. Now, I've never tried to throw a nutmeg, but like, you're talking about 7-footers, right? With their legs spread out and they're going like this. Where are you going to get the ball around them? Is going to get, like, sometimes you try to throw it by their ear, but you know, it's not going to happen with these guys.
You know what he's going to cause them to do, right? These guys that are breaking down trying to stop them, they're going to be scared. So you're going to stand straight up. They're not going to go right between the legs again. They don't want, you know, get nutmeg. So what are they going to do? They're going to stand straighter up, and then Chase is going to go around.
You see how he does it too. Like, it's his backspin pass where he like, he puts the ball where
it
wants.
So much English on it,
right,
bro.
It's got to have English because it's got to hit there, and then it's got to come up faster than it went down so that like the guy on the other side can catch it. And so here's the thing, right? I've seen players do this, and this is like extreme fuckery. But they do a fake like that, and then like that. So as soon as people are starting to prepare for it and they're kind of jumpy, like you said, and they start standing up, he can either like do a fake or hesitate or just look between their legs, and they're going to get nervous. And then if they narrow up like a ballerina, it goes around them.
I mean, I love that you put a ballerina in there because I wasn't thinking ballerina. I was thinking like when Shea looks between their legs, they get a little nervous. I'm cool with that too, because like when Shea start looking at people junk, people are going to start like running around, dude. Like, don't be doing nutmegs on me, man. I just really like what he's doing and how he's playing his game. Like, he's attacking, attacking, attacking. There's so many times that I felt that a shot was almost there. You know, there was three shots that like I felt that were in the second they left his hand. It just hit in the, you know, front of the rim and then went straight up. That close, man. And I keep on seeing it, and I'm like, oh man, he's so close to another 40-point game. So fucking close to another 40-point game. And that's what's so exciting, is what he is doing right now and the domination factor of what he is doing. Like, I have yet to see a guard dominate, and it's just so, for me, it's so irritating that he is not an all-star starter right now. I understand. I get it. He was fourth place voting, and last year he was like 60th place voting, but what he's doing right now to me is the most impressive thing that I've seen by a guard. And he's taking this team on his back, and he's literally bringing them into the playoffs and into that conversation of the playoffs. A team that is the second youngest team of all time playing on this court. Like, the respect level that he's getting across the NBA, across, you know, whether it's a veteran or in the league or it's another rookie, or we're talking about, you know, guys that have been 75 greatest of all time, or even 50 greatest of all time players. Like, these guys are all starting to take note what Shea's doing, and they're all saying the same thing, is that everybody is just lucky that we're all in Shea's orbit right now. Because when it's all said and done, and he does get the Thunder to the playoffs, there's no doubt about it that he's going to be in that conversation, the top three conversation for MVP, because the things that he has done for this team and the things that he continues to do for this team every single fucking night is the most beautiful thing I've seen out of any players that have ever played for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, that goes a ways back, man. But it's true. It's true because, yeah, we've seen people put up big numbers before.
And listen, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want you to talk about our live event that we talked about, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander in the future, mm-hmm. right?
Go ahead.
All right, we talked about – No. I want you to – go ahead. I had a brain fart right there, but – we were talking about Shea in our live event.
Right. Live stream on YouTube.
Talking about, yeah. Go ahead and talk, kind of like let people know what happened.
All right. So we try to do that pre-games, random times. So if you are on YouTube and you follow us, if you subscribe, then you'll get a notification when we go live. we like to do a little pregame talk, and we definitely got on and, you know, done a last couple of games. But this game we were talking about, I just felt like, all right, guys, forgive me for this blasphemy, but I feel like what we're looking at right now with Shai and Josh Giddey is a better combination than Russ and KD. All right?
That's it.
And, you know, some of the comments.
Well, not just that, but not just that, but why do you believe that they are a better fit for Oklahoma City
in general? In general, like, we did see some great playoff success, right? And when they clicked at the same time, we're talking about the Thunder and Lightning kind of vibe, which is great. But generally speaking, it seemed like Russ and KD were successful one at a time. Like, it was like, you take your turn, I take my turn. That was a lot of the ISO game, but it was also just like certain games were one person's game and certain games were the other person's games. And I just feel like this combination, like the way that they've grown together and they trust each other already, you can tell they're cheering for each other in a different way. And I feel like this is the better combination for our city to get behind, because one success doesn't detract from the other person's success. And as a team, we're going to see them go further. They're younger than we can really understand when we're trying to project their future. But at this stage, Shai, to me, is every bit of the score that KD was. He's going to take it a bit longer, okay, to fully come into form. But when you look at what he can do, but at the same time, like, he doesn't need that crazy ISO, get the ball at the elbow, everybody clear out, let me go to work. Like, the ball has movement, it goes from side to side. Like, this game, he put up 8 assists. Like, that's crazy. You know, like you mentioned already, his defense, the 2 steals, 1 block. So I feel like we're going to get that player when he's at his peak. He's all NBA. Like, they're going to be very comparable, okay? People will give KD his, you know, props because he's taller, he can get a shot off, he's unstoppable, whatever. But, like, Shai, whatever. And then Giddey, you compare Giddey to Russ, and people will have one side or the other on that. Like, maybe he won't be an MVP. Maybe he won't average a triple-double. But at the same time, he fits with Shai, and Shai fits with him. And they're committed to working together. And give them time, but I look at them and I say, this is a superior combination. And then there's the rest of everybody else. The coach, the bench, the other starters.
I want to go and I want to echo exactly what you said, but I want to say this right here is that one of the things that Shai and Josh have going for them is that the media haven't pitted them against each other yet, and they won't. Okay, with Russ and KD, you guys go back and read it, go back and listen to things. People pitted Russ and KD against each other. I mean, it was in Oklahoma City everywhere. It was Barry Trammell. It was everybody saying, well, if Russ hadn't taken this many shots and KD had taken more, we would have won the game. It was constant. This is not what's going to happen with this team. I feel like Sam Presti is there explaining things to the media, helping the media understand what they're not going to do with this team. And that's the protection that you're getting up from your higher level. That's just really impressive. But that's why I think that this has a better shot of being a true 1-2 punch for the future of the NBA.
Yeah, and you look at the quality of the last two games and the diversity of them. I think we got up over 100 shots in the last game. This game we got up 76. Like, we're winning different ways. And it's one thing to be like, I guess we didn't win the last game, but like, it's one thing to be like, we're dependent on playing our style to win. It's another thing to say, we'll match up with whatever you guys do. And you got to give Bazley some serious props. Like, I get it. Like,
absolutely,
3 for 7, and he missed a couple of shots toward the end that will probably stick out in people's minds. But we already mentioned the offensive rebound by Kenny. But also, 9 points. He knocked down 1 of 1 from deep. Like, I just felt like Bazley was playing the right style. I feel like he gave Mobley's length issues. He was rebounding hard. He's playing good. A lot of people wanted him to be off the team. We're here to argue against that. So while you say, Dave, it's not going to happen again where the media is pitting them against each other, they're going to try. It won't work. But we saw after our last loss, everybody was like, oh, look, Giddey had a C because he, you know, missed those shots. And, you know, if other people got those shots, whatever. My point is simple. We're a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And we don't want people pointing fingers at one player if they think it's their fault. It's not helpful. In fact, it's just bad.
Yeah, man. And I got to say is, to me, it's been fun to be able to be part of watching what this team is capable of doing. Watching what this team is really just been dominating on all aspects. I get truly excited when we start understanding how many times this team has put themselves in positions to truly dominate. I have to say, as Mark and I are growing and as we're learning how to do this podcast better, there has been so many people that have reached out, whether it's encouragements or ideas that we could do things better. You guys have really, truly mean the world to us. I look back at the things that you guys have said, and on a daily basis, I go back and take, because I can't help it. You guys write 30 to 150 messages and comments on our feeds. So like, I have to go back and take snapshots of all the ones that I like, because you guys have really made this experience of being a Thunder fan so much more exhilarating and fun. And that's why we're bringing you guys the live shows. And like Mark said, if you guys want to be part of those live shows and you guys don't get those notifications, all you got to do is go click the notification thing for the live shows. And you guys will be able to be part of that, because to me, we drop them at whenever we're available to drop them. Sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's later. It's just all over the board. But we want to be able to do this for you guys so that you guys can be part of our show, asking the questions. And I think we had 180 questions asked us last live thing that
fun.
We did.
It was amazing.
And we spent an hour and some change, hour and a half, talking about all the questions these people are asking us. So for us, that's what's part of it. We want you guys to be part of this progress with this podcast with us.
Absolutely, man. And we're looking forward to the games coming up. I'll go ahead and run through them with you real quick, right? We got Monday, we're playing the Warriors. Then we got a couple against the Rockets. And then we got the Warriors again, okay? And that's the 6th, all right? And then get ready for this, guys. 7th, against the Lakers.
Guys, at LA, and LeBron is going to break that record, guys. I'm telling you right now, get ready.
We'll see.
Get ready. LeBron's going to do it.
I was looking on ESPN. They have a LeBron watch, and they're projecting the game, and it says it's going to be against Oklahoma City.
I got a question. How long ago did I call this, by the way? No, come on.
Preseason?
You're being nice. Beginning of the season. Honestly, dude. I looked at it. I was like, oh, the Thunder game is the one. I was like circling it. I was like, somehow – LeBron's going to hold off until that game.
So we're pumped. We're pumped up. So we hope that you'll continue to join us. We got a lot happening between now and then. We could go on a run.
Get it, baby.
Force our way into the playoff picture. We're just barely on the outside looking in, tied with the Jazz. Things will change.
Just the tip right
Let's
now,
Let's get
baby.
It going, baby. That's it. Let's go all the way. We love you guys. We'll see you soon. Thunder up.